You're listening to the PR Wind Down Podcast, the show for public relations professionals who are ready to see real change in the PR industry. We are your hosts, April White and Laura Schooler. Let's get ready to wind down. Ranjini.
Hi.
Hey, nice to see you. Miss Hawaii.
Yeah.
Do I look very Hawaiian?
You're starting to look Hawaiian, dude. Like you have the.
I love it.
You have like the braid,
the side braid.
This is a tank top.
Well, I'm like tank top,
surfboard. Where's your surfboard?
This is actually the new mom bun.
What?
I've reinvented the mom bun. It used to just be like the bun in the back. Now I've made it a side braid, turned it into a side braid.
How long does that take you?
It took me 5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, it's just a very little twist.
It looks very fancy.
Thank you.
Anyway, we are here to talk about public relations. So with that, if anybody hasn't already figured it out, we have a surprise guest host. And it's Ranjini Joshua.
Hello.
She is the CEO of Silver Telegram PR Agency and the podcast host and author behind the PR Playbook.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
And we go way back now.
Yeah, I think we're old friends now.
We're old friends now, right? Yeah. Have to be. Yeah. Okay, good. All right. So our first segment of the day is our PR news, and we are discussing layoffs or hiring. What is the current status of the PR industry? Wow. There was it is rough. So with the economy in shaky ground and then continuous whispers of recession, PR News decided to conduct a community poll.
Oh.
Here are the final results of this poll. 21.7% of agencies are currently laying people off. That's almost a third. 43.5% are still hiring. So almost half are still hiring. But then 34.8%, which is over a third.
Is this in tech specifically or agency specifically? What is the specific demographic of this?
Even though it's a bit confusing in the tweet because it says with tech layoffs exploding, service jobs are growing. How is your organization or agency doing? So what they're actually asking PR practitioners, maybe not necessarily specific to agencies, but also including communications departments. Probably. So okay. I think it's across PR, where are we at? And essentially what they're saying is almost a third are laying people off, under half are hiring still, and then over a third are a hiring freeze or a status quo, like holding steady. So it feels like, is this the right time to be buying and selling a home? It kind of feels like, is this the right time to be looking for a job in PR? Or asking for that big promotion or raise?
Probably not.
Your job, one thing, but raise, yeah. Hold up on the raise.
You're like, look for a job, don't ask for a raise.
Yeah, yeah. You might have to take what you can get for a little bit.
And I don't know if you're seeing this for your agency in terms of biz dev or things slowing. I'm sure they're not slowing to a halt, but
no,
are they?
They're not. Yeah, they're not to a halt. What I'm seeing is, yeah, everybody's worried. Like before this call, I mean, we had a little discussion with one of our clients. And so that one's going on pause. A couple weeks ago, we had a discussion with the client, but we were able to kind of fill in their gaps somewhere else. So that was like a conversation we had was, okay, maybe this is not the right thing for you right now, but like, how can we fill in the gaps in other communication areas? So we kind of restructured our campaign with them. So yeah, I think I'm seeing a lot of people really worried about their budget and how to optimize it. Mm-hmm. And like, how are we supporting lead gen? And that's always a question, but now it's like even more important.
Right. Agreed. Yeah. I feel like I need to put in about double the effort right now, and that, yeah. Most of the prospects that I thought were landing in January, and it's now March, are still waiting for funding that they were hoping to have so that then they could pull the trigger. And so there's kind of a lot of these start and stop prospects in my experience, where you think they're about to sign and then they don't, and then they come back and then they don't. And then I feel like it's going to be this like Capoeira dance for another 4 months before they sign, assuming it's that like, the economy clears up.
It's like they're just like kind of waiting to just see if it'll be okay. Like they're not sure. Like they want to do it, but then they're not sure if they want to spend the money. So yeah. It's kind of like that. It's very touch and go, and you kind of have to convince them. I'm such a bad salesperson too. I cannot convince. I mean, I'm a good salesperson in that I don't really sell.
You're earnest.
That's
right.
That's my problem is like, I don't really sell. So it's I don't
too authentic.
Have, yeah. I don't have that penchant to follow up and be like, hey, you need this now. That's.
I feel that's like hard. It reads pretty smarmy. I don't know that that's actually very effective in PR either.
I don't know. Well, some people like it. I remember a long time ago, this guy, I was on the phone with him and I told him my whole thing and he's like, okay, now sell me. And I was like, what? Like, I just told you, I just gave you the proposal. I can't do any more. I can't dance for you, buddy.
He's like, dance, monkey, dance. What did you do?
Like kind of reiterated our value proposition. Yeah, I just kind of just reset what was there. I mean, look, if you like, need it, you need it.
Let me refer to Exhibit A, the proposal I just said.
I think that's one of the things where if you're a PR person who made a business, it's difficult for us because that's not what we do. We're not salespeople. You know, I'm not a BD person. So whatever I do is just really from the tactical, strategic standpoint, not really from the selling.
It's funny because I literally just last week had a chat with this guy who helps companies scale, which is like a networking thing through LinkedIn, whatever, chit chat, right?
Sure.
And he started having me go through and pull out the value propositions based on whether somebody would need to switch from an agency to our agency, and if so, why they might need to, or if they don't have an agency, why they would need one. And then basically back it into, I got to open this because it was so, I feel like you're going to laugh. It's really smart, but basically he was saying, take those and then turn them into questions from those value propositions, right? Yeah. Okay, so for example, so most people don't know what the brand stands for or find it credible. Let's say that's one of the reasons that they might need PR. They don't have it currently. And so then you get on the phone with them. Okay, so if your core target market knew what you did and what you stood for, what would that do for your company, right? Like those are the kinds of questions.
Oh, that's so cheesy.
I know. And then it's like, here's why you would switch. Are you ready? Uh-huh. Okay. So like, because their current agency did a bait and switch on them with super junior team members and they're leading their accounts. So the question, if your new agency were led by a seasoned senior professionals, what would that do for your company? but I don't know if I could pull this off without vomiting in my mouth a little bit. Like there'd be like Verb Central, right?
Yeah, it's pretty sad. That's there's got to be a better question. Maybe you're not being creative enough, April.
I mean, there's got to be, right? If your new agency was better at media relations and building meaningful press relationships, what would that do for you?
Well, yeah, duh. Like,
okay, all right. So we can agree that's odious. Anyway, back to the poll. Is there anything else? Yeah, back to the news. Since we kind of went down a rabbit hole, it was fun. We're back from Alice in Wonderland. All right. Well, anything to add to that before we move on to our anonymous PR horror story of the day?
No, I'm excited to hear this. I'm very
excited. Do you want to read it or do you want me to read it and you take it in?
I'm going to take it in and respond.
Okay, here we go. All right. Hi, ladies. I just had a very brutal return to in-person events. Help. Last weekend, I attended the first trade show I've been to post-pandemic. And for some background, I was in account support role when the pandemic started and I rose to the ranks to account manager during the dark ages of in-person events. So I've never really dealt with anything like this nightmare scenario before. I had a client CEO attending a trade show across the state from where I live. And since I was the closest account manager to that location, I was tasked with attending to support the CEO and set up some on-site interviews. Our CEO was participating in a panel discussion. The company also had a booth, and I set up 3 reporter meetups for Mr. CEO, we'll call him, one for each day of the conference. I felt pretty good about my success in doing that. I was there to facilitate. First meeting time comes, the reporter arrives, the chat goes well, we all leave with a friendly relationship and the promise of Mr. CEO being quoted in an upcoming story. Day 2 comes. My client presents at his panel discussion in the morning. He doesn't say much, but what he does say was excellent. And he's prepared and ready for the next reporter meetup. We're waiting at the coffee shop at the conference center. After we get there and get settled, the reporter emails me. Busy schedule today. Need to rain check.
Mm.
I responded offering to reschedule to set up a call, and I got crickets. I assure the client he hasn't done anything wrong. These things happen. We'll knock it out of the park with the next one. Day three comes. Third reporter ghosts us entirely. By now, my client is standing in the cursed coffee stand, convinced he said or did something wrong during the panel discussion and ruined the whole trade show. Oh, God. I'm quite confident this isn't the case, and neither reporter even attended the panel discussion. We left with Mr. CEO feeling defeated and embarrassed, and with me feeling the same. Am I only good at my job over email? How do I make sure... How do I make sure the next trade show I attend goes better for me and my client?
That's
wow. Bummer.
That sucks. I mean, but you know what? None of that surprised me. That felt very normal for me. Like,
yeah.
One out of three. That's what you can imagine, especially, I don't know what trade show it was, but depending on the show, one out of three. Yeah, that's not bad. And did you get covered from that one?
Right.
So that would have been something to think about. And then the other thing is, I mean, we do try to reschedule those like for another time. So like that week is hard because if they were so busy that they couldn't show up, they're not going to respond. So you might have to wait a week to get them. And then did you confirm before the show? That's the other thing. And then I always get their cell phone numbers if I can.
So that you can text them or call them.
I can text them and be a creep. Because the worst case scenario, at least they'll respond via text because right. You're creeping on them a little bit. But that, I mean, that sounds pretty normal. Like, you should not feel bad. Your CEO, you should, I think if you feel confident, like, hey, this is pretty normal, then the CEO will feel confident, like, oh, okay, it's not me. And just say, you know, we'll make it up. We'll schedule some other interviews.
Right.
And we'll use your topic as a pitch point for another interview or something like that.
Right, right. My concern with those kinds of things, too, is how much money did you ask the client to invest in your attendance?
Oh, yeah, that's...
Because if they... And thankfully, it sounds like this person was across the state and not across the country. But if they, for example, flew you in for $700, $800 and then three nights in a hotel and it's...
Oh, true.
Another, then you're looking at, I don't know, $2,000 plus per diems, or let's say $2,000 just as an estimate, right? And then it was all for one interview that didn't convert. Like, oh!
Well, and also she said she or he or them said they had a booth.
Right.
So was there no other media at the show that wanted, like,
right.
You know, because I always do that little weird, crazy thing where you're like stalking people's badges and they think you're a crazy person. So,
right.
I mean,
like, oh,
I don't
know. You write for TechCrunch.
Right.
Can I interest you in coming to the booth of my client?
Yeah. Or if you just see them walking by or whatever.
Yeah,
whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
I always tell.
Right.
When you started that story, I thought it was like somebody who worked for me.
Oh, no.
Oh, I mean, it sounds like pretty common.
Right.
But our CEOs know the expectations. I mean, I think that's what it is. Expectation setting beforehand is
right,
really
that's
important.
The biggest issue. Right.
So maybe, like,
yeah.
It sounds like this guy probably doesn't have a lot of experience with events. Not the PR person, the CEO.
Yeah.
But that sucks. I would just be like, hey, let's try to follow up and see if we can, or maybe this would be a bold move to have the CEO follow up with the people who didn't show up.
Well, it's also usually a best practice to try to smash all those together. So it's not spread over 3 days and you're interrupting his schedule three times.
Yeah.
So that way it doesn't read as such a big issue either, because it's like, oh, cool. One showed up and we talked to them and we get an hour back.
Yeah.
We only slotted an hour and a half of your time and you talked for 30 minutes. And like, so it
hopefully
doesn't.
Hopefully he didn't skip any like customer meetings or something.
Right. Right. So that's another sort of pro tip, I think, for this person. In addition to managing expectations, that probably only a third will actually show up in the end, right? So you don't, and that way you aren't having the client pay out-of-pocket expenses for 3 days. You're having them pay for 1 day because you smashed it into 1 day.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Unless there's other things you need to be doing there and you're doing meetings with them about their branding or, you know,
right.
Doing whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that just sucks. It's not necessarily, I wouldn't call that as much of a horror story as it just plain sucks.
Yeah. It's not horrifying, but it's a bummer.
It's a bummer. Yeah. Yeah. Total bummer. Yeah. Especially coming out of pandemic. But, you know, I mean, well, I don't want to rain on their parade, but I was going to say coming out of the pandemic, I felt like people were more willing to meet with us because they're excited to mm-hmm. finally be in person. But I guess it really depends on the show too. If it's some of the smaller, like the not smaller, but like niche shows are a little bit more challenging because they're not used to people setting up media interviews as much, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas like a CES or an NRF or like a big show like that, it's typical, you know? And then
yeah.
the vertical shows that are a little bit more intimate don't get that kind of attention usually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would follow up with you probably don't have a transcript of the panel. I was going to say, follow up with the transcript of this is what my CEO talked about.
Oh, it's a good idea.
Here's 3 points of what you might have missed. We'd love to get a phone call with you or something. Yeah. Like
I like it. I like it. Well,
what you're going to do, you got to make the best of lemonade and lemons. What is it?
You got to make lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah.
I mean, what do they do in Hawaii? Probably not that.
Something with lilikoi, with passion fruit.
Got to make pokey out of.
Ooh, I can go for some pokey right now.
Right? Make it out of your fresh fish. None of that makes sense.
I made pokey.
Did you?
I made pokey.
See, you're Miss Hawaii.
It was amazing. I was like, I did not think it was going to turn out good because I just thought like you have to have a specific kind of fish cut or whatever. But yeah. The guy's like, yeah, you can make pokey. And I made this like albacore tuna pokey and it was
Yum.
Like amazing.
Oh my God. I love it. I love it. I'm officially, okay. When am I coming to visit you in Hawaii? This is
whenever, you know, we're going to do a PR retreat in November. So.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right. Send me the details on that.
Yes, I will.
Okay. So we have things I should have been trained on, which is a segment about things that we were not trained on, had to learn, like, you know, feet in the fire kind of thing.
Everything.
Basically. Everything. Okay. So for today's things I should have been trained on, we are discussing how to disagree respectfully with a colleague on strategy.
Yes.
So what did you not learn that you had to learn by doing in this regard?
Yeah. Like I was saying, I learned everything by fire, like everything. Like in my agency, like it was so bad. It was so messed up. I'm not going to name it.
Good. Good
go to
for
my
you.
LinkedIn and find out. like basically when it comes up, you'll learn how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we did have to disagree with someone, like, I don't know that I did this probably in the best way. I don't remember what I did back then. But if someone were to disagree today, I think the best way to do it is to disagree, give a reason why, and give some kind of proof point. Mm-hmm. So like, here's the credibility behind why I disagree or why it should be done in a different way. So it's really like all business. It's not personal. You know, like, don't make it personal.
Right.
I mean, that's one of the hardest things about navigating interpersonal relationships is like everybody thinks, especially as a boss, right? You know this, like,
oh yeah.
There's some people that we work with that are more sensitive than others and they might take it personally. So I usually have to follow up with like, oh, hey, try it this way. Or here's why I said this. Like I have to give a reasoning and that softens the blow because they're like, oh, okay. They just want me to do it this way. So it's like, and you have to try to remember too, it is business. Like try to make it more straightforward and less emotional, right?
Right. In general, I think giving feedback where you as best as possible do the compliment sandwich, even though yes. I find that also a bit odious, just like the sales thing we were talking about earlier.
I do that too.
You can't do it like so aggressively that they know what you're doing. But I think, you know, I really agree with you here. I think this is really smart. I'm just wondering about whether this piece of it, you know, and you could even pose it as a question. So it becomes a dialogue, right? So that's one thing that I sometimes use, or even if I just have a question about the strategy, like, do you think it actually fits it based on the messaging the client is putting out? Or is this actually,
or why did you do it that way?
Yeah.
Or I like the questioning, the question, because maybe when they explain it to themselves, they'll be like, okay, this doesn't make sense.
Right. Or maybe it makes more sense to you after you listen to the reason behind it.
Right.
And then you agree slightly, even if you disagree still, right? But it's like, yeah. Oh, then you can find some common ground. It's funny. I had a colleague at Edelman who used to say a lot, and I thought I found this very funny. Basically, I think we're aggressively agreeing with each other here. And then he would explain from that what points were the same, but then how they were being expressed slightly differently. It was a bit manipulative because a lot of times it was like, we're saying the same thing, but I think that the way I'm saying it makes more sense, right? Like there was a little bit of that happening.
A little mansplaining happening.
But I think that in general, that approach, even though I wouldn't necessarily use that phrase, I'm just calling it out because it's hilarious. Yeah. But I think, you know, this is where we overlap in our approach.
Right.
In the common ground. But, you know, I might tweak this piece of it. Or I really like your passion and I see where you're going with your creativity around this. But I wonder if we need to.
Also, this is a pot calling the kettle black. But you have a lot of puns and like, what is it called? What are those sayings called? I can't think.
Metaphors?
Parables?
Parables?
Parables. I think they're parables. We have a lot of those going on today. I was going to say.
Got to bring it home with a Hawaiian parable.
I'm working on it. Okay.
All right. Okay. I expect that for next time.
Yes. But yeah, I think also like getting on the phone or looking at each other's face is probably better too. Like, I mean, we communicate on Slack all the time. And then sometimes when I read back what I wrote, I'm like, ooh, probably didn't want to say that. Or probably didn't mean it like this. It could be taken this way. So sometimes just getting on a Zoom or a Google Meet, or now you could do Slack huddle with video. I mean, I just think doing it in person real quick or even voice is a little bit easier because you can hear intonation and you know, whatever else. Like
you can read their micro expressions too. So you know if you need to soften it a bit based on the reactions you're getting or if they're handling it well enough or if they're not getting it because they look confused and then you can sort of retool how you said it kind of thing.
Yeah, I feel like we're also sensitive about seeing each other now because like if we don't have to, let's not do it. Like, you know,
right. Yeah, agreed. Yeah. It's never fun, but I do think the other thing I would recommend is framing it around why it's best for the client and or the agency and or the team or whatever. Take it out of the personal thing again and say, you know, anytime you give feedback, even this is slightly different, but even when you give personal feedback, if it's couched around, this is why I'm saying it from a place of caring, because I care about you, I care about the team, I care about the client, I care about the results,
right.
I care about the agency. And if you put it that way, then it feels less like an attack and more like, hey, I just want to bring out the best in you and in the team. And I'm wondering if we did this, if we would get better results.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter if what role you're, I mean, I feel like now a lot of PR agency organizations, well, for the most part, especially the newer ones are kind of flat as far as organizationally. I'm guessing, I mean, I haven't been in a PR big agency in a while, so they probably still have that like hierarchy dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And actually that brings up an interesting question is, does our advice shift if you're a junior person that disagrees with your senior's person strategy?
But I like what you just said, like go back into what's best for the client. Hey, I think it would be better for the client. You know, like I think based on our client needs, if you're framing it that way, then it's again not personal.
Right.
I mean, I like
and you're not questioning them. You're just saying,
yeah, I like when someone challenges what we have going on. Yeah. Like that means they're thinking about something. I mean, I'd rather have them do that than not say anything at all or just go with what I say. You know,
right. No, and the more that they demonstrate that they have that kind of strategic thinking, the more you can promote them because then you can do less of it yourself, which frees you up as a senior person, owner, whatever.
Yeah.
To put your attention elsewhere and do other critical thinking and problem solving, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Actually, that leads me to an interesting question. Do you ever struggle with having creative problem solving or lack thereof in your agency? And if so, how do you encourage it?
Yes, I do. I feel like I'm a crutch for a lot of people because I'm always on. So it's like, if someone asks me a question, I'll come back with my best answer possible. That's like, I always come back with my best answer possible. And so I think that becomes a crutch for a lot of my people because they're like, oh, well, Lantini's going to come back and tell me what to do. Like she's going to give me all this stuff. And so I think it's, you know, remembering as a leader that your job is to inspire somebody else to be creative. So like I have to sometimes, even though I know, and it hurts me a lot, like take a step back and be like, okay, let them come up with the idea.
Right.
So I'll be like, well, actually, what do you think a creative idea would be? So just like turning the question around, but being more patient with waiting for an answer. Because even though I might already have an answer, this person might need a day to get it. And that's when we struggle, is like when the time difference, right? Like this person might need a day to think about it because they're not maybe used to thinking about it a certain way or whatever. Right. So they need to get into that mind state. And so, you know, giving them a deadline saying, hey, can you actually come up with a few options by this time? And we'll talk about it then, you know, instead of giving, I've done this like a few times recently. I'm doing more and more of it because I'm trying to get away from day to day, but it's like, okay, well, why don't you give me some suggestions and then we can discuss them. So still giving them the opportunity to riff off of each other, but also getting their first draft, you know?
Right, right. I like
it. Hard.
I know. It's good advice though.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try to take that advice. I'm going to have to listen back to this.
Okay. I think we should let you tell everybody where they can find you and then I will sign us off.
Oh yeah. First of all, I need to come back because I love talking to you.
I know. We need to do this way more often.
It's fun. It feels like a girl's night. Yeah. It's the silvertelegram.com. And then check out my DIY PR podcast. Send it over to your clients or whoever. It's the PR Playbook podcast. Lots of P's. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So you could find me there. I do a lot of interviews and stuff. April's on there. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it's easy to find me. You could type in Rongini and probably I'm the first one that comes up. So
it's a very unique name. What do you know where that comes from? Does it mean something special?
It does. I mean, there's other ones. There's other Ronginis, but yeah, it means a good entertainer.
And you are. I love that.
But my mom wanted me to be a dancer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you dance with words. Like dances with wolves. Dances with words. Hilarious. Okay. So thank you for tuning in for this special episode of the PR Wind Down podcast. Remember to submit your own agency anonymous stories and questions below at the email address in the episode notes. And to subscribe and rate and share our show with your colleagues and anyone else you think would find it entertaining or helpful. I can't wait to wind down with you again next time.